Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. I'm Greg Hahn. I'm Chief Investment Officer for Winthrop Capital Management. With me is Adam Koons. He is Head of Trading and works with me on portfolios. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning.
We got a lot to cover again. I thought what might be best as we kind of we're heading into the end of the quarter. So just to kind of create a context for where we are right now as we head into the end of the third quarter, and then what happens in the world of investing is the fourth quarter comes and goes fast. So as we move into October, we've literally got maybe 5 or 6 weeks to get portfolios locked down, because as the capital markets have changed in how they're structured post financial crisis, liquidity tends to leave the market. But before now, it's happening really before Thanksgiving sometimes. Yeah. So if we don't have portfolios locked down before Thanksgiving, it becomes very, very difficult heading into December. So we're trying to get things locked down. So here's where we're at. Let me start this off and then we'll kind of kick it back and forth here. But this coronavirus obviously has decimated the economy. The first quarter GDP was down 5%. The second quarter GDP was down 31.7% on an annualized basis. Now, we expect a rebound in economic growth for the third quarter, but it is not a recovery to pre-pandemic levels. We don't really expect that to happen until 2023. And so this is improvement, but it's like me doing the high jump in high school. There's no way I'm going to get 8 feet, but I might get 3 feet. So that's what we've got. We've got a 3 foot type of recovery. And then we'll go back to my athletic career in high school in a second. But the economy, there are parts of the economy that are still shut down. And that includes entertainment, gaming, leisure, higher education, travel related industries. Now, some of this you'd say, well, wait, Greg, higher education is not shut down. I'd say that's true, but it's not operating near its full capacity. And we won't see full capacity on many of these issues till we have a way to control the spread of the virus. That's really when we look at what a recovery looks like. It's that we have to have a reliable way to control the spread of the virus. We don't have that right now. We have a lot of hopes and promises, but it's still a ways off. So 2023 is what we're looking at. And so right now, the big issue is, can the economy operate without fiscal stimulus? So, and I think the answer is yes, but the unfortunate thing is that the downturn is going to be that much more severe if we don't have directed fiscal stimulus to help mute the effects of the downturn. And that's what's really being debated. So it's become what was our base case. Our base case was that we'd have a second round of stimulus heading into the election. It does not look like that's about to happen. The Fed, if you listen to what the Federal Reserve is saying, the Federal Reserve is basically asking Congress to get to put stimulus in place, because what they're seeing is deterioration, and that's our concern. And so the focus for us is on the labor markets. So we've got 2 million people that are permanently unemployed since spring, 12 million total that are still unemployed. So the unemployment rate is what, 8.4% now?
Yep.
And it's that's the key driver for consumption now. What's interesting is that when you look globally, consumer spending has actually been pretty strong. The UK reported their consumer spending last week and it was stronger than economists expected. But I'm kind of in the camp that it's something to be careful about. So there's some other issues that are happening that I'm just going to touch on them real quick. But Adam, I want to get this over to you. But one of them is the deterioration in the fiscal position of many states and cities. And the National League of Cities anticipates a 13% decline in its fiscal year 2021 general funds over 2020. So 13% decline, that means 90% of cities in the United States will be less able to meet their fiscal needs than they were last year. And that's salt on roads, that's repairing roads, that's you know, it we haven't begun to feel the pinch from what this really looks like. So this goes back to, in the absence of federal assistance, we're going to start to feel it. So the other thing we're seeing is obviously an increase in bankruptcy filings. So obviously retail has been widely publicized, Brooks Brothers, Neiman Marcus, JCPenney, but we're seeing other companies, including CMX Cinema, Gold's Gym. But it goes back to those industries that we talked about earlier, entertainment, gaming, leisure. Those are the ones that are getting hit. But those are also the ones, I'll use this as the transition to you. These are also the industries that we want to get exposure to so that when we do get the recovery, we can participate in what that looks like. So I'm going to stop here and transition over to you. This is a long, long list that we're going to have in the weekly insights this week.
Always get to follow the rosy picture that you paint for me. So it's no surprise probably to anyone paying attention, equity markets continue to see volatility. Last week, the S&P was down another 4%. The NASDAQ followed suit. And really, tech stocks in general have been the leader to the downside. Now, the caveat is obviously that we're coming off of tremendous run in stocks. The index is still up 21%. That's the NASDAQ. And really, they're up 60% from their March lows. So some pullback here was warranted. At the moment, it's nothing to get overly excited about. But the volatility index is remaining above 30, which does give us some caution. Earnings are coming to an end. And what I'll say about earnings is that they were much better than expected in different scenarios. If it was tech, it was actual growth that was better than expected. And then when you look at industries like retail, the bar was obviously very, very low. But overall, earnings have been better than expected, both on revenue and earnings. Oracle release, which is usually the tail end of earnings, at 93 cents, and a revenue growth of 2% year over year. So cloud services was really the driver there. But really, no one's paying attention to earnings out of Oracle. They're paying more attention to the TikTok news. So it was announced that they are the provisional winner of the TikTok America outfit. And the structure of that is very unknown. The details have not really come out. But the idea and the consensus view is that TikTok will restructure their American entity. And that's what Oracle would take over.
So how does that fit into Oracle's business?
I have no clue.
Because Oracle's a business-to-business kind of
provider.
So this is more of a retail kind of consumer oriented.
Yeah, this is just clearly just, hey, we need something else to drive revenue and here's a place to go. There's no synergy that I can see. And from a management operational, I don't see how it's a fit in any way, but.
Helps their cloud business.
Sure. Could be a customer, right?
They got a new customer, right?
So, but we'll see where it goes. I mean, the deadline for Trump and his, turning off of TikTok happens this week.
Yeah.
So they need to get this ironed out quickly if TikTok is going to remain here in the U.S. near term.
Well, if they could extend it too.
Sure. And that's the likely thing out of the Trump camp is what will happen. So
is it really over? Because Walmart was an interesting fit. Walmart is just as American as...
Yeah. And so Walmart was trying to do it strategically with a tech company, right? They first went to Google.
Yeah.
They were working with Microsoft. So, I mean... Until the ink is on the piece of paper, then I guess it's never over, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Yeah.
The other company that reported was Peloton, 27 cents of earnings. That was actually versus 10 cents expected. So revenue was up 172% year over year. So you can see.
We have a friend who wanted to order a Peloton bike and
can't get them.
Couldn't do
yeah.
it. Yeah. They're sold out. So they ended up getting a Nordic tracker.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you pay attention at all in the fitness industry, it has been extremely difficult to get any equipment. I know several people that during March, obviously, were sitting at home trying to order stuff, couldn't get anything. I was one of those people. Obviously, gyms were closed. But if you've tried to go to a gym, you can see that it's the participation rate at gyms now is a tenth of what it used to be.
I did a bike ride through one of the neighborhoods up in northern Indianapolis here. And there was one Saturday, there was like four places where they had all their old treadmills and bikes out on the lawn, like free to people driving by.
Really?
Yeah, they look pretty bad.
Yeah. But people are obviously wanting to work out at home rather than go to a gym and the risk that are involved there, or the headache of, do I have to wear a mask and do I have to clean everything I use? So it's a little bit of both from me talking to friends. So anyway, Peloton is a beneficiary of that.
Hey, on the company side also, this morning's news was NVIDIA and SoftBank. Did you get that?
Yep. So SoftBank selling for $40 billion ARM, which is just it's a chipset. It's a very standardized chipset that's used globally in pretty much anything you can think of. So it's a very expensive acquisition for NVIDIA, but I think it was something they needed to do. They've continued to want to get into the auto industry and have been slow to be able to do that. So this helps with that. And then conversely on SoftBank, they've had a couple divestitures here in the last week. So clearly they are raising cash for something. Maybe it's all the losses on their options, or maybe they're looking for some other bigger acquisition. But regardless, a very big deal for NVIDIA. Back onto the model side. So you touched on trying to invest in those companies that have not risen like the rest of the market. So we've talked extensively about other industries that have not recovered, tech really being the leader. So when you're looking at retail, you're looking at airlines and those sort of companies. And then even in tech, there are companies that have lagged significantly. So we keep hounding on this equal weighted ETF. What it allows us to do is to get exposure to companies that have lagged the market and can participate to the upside without taking extreme bets away from technology, extreme bets away from communication services. So that is a position we're continuing to build in portfolios, somewhat as defense, but also as a catalyst as the economy recovers. Anything you would add there, Greg?
No, I think that you can't time the recovery, but it's I'm gonna make the bet that we're closer to the recovery than we are to the beginning of this.
Sure.
And we've got to shift the portfolios around because what's worked this past year is not necessarily what's going to work next year. So that's kind of the thesis, is to say, okay, now how do we make that shift, and what is it? What's a thoughtful way to do that? So. Yeah.
With that, I'll shift over to fixed income. Last week was a very heavy issuance out of both the U.S. government treasury and out of corporate America. So 46 deals last week, Greg, came to $68 billion.
This is amazing.
It is. It was definitely difficult to move around markets with so much new issuance last week. So that brings the total in 2020 in investment grade to $1.45 trillion. That's just in 2020, just in investment grade. And then also Bloomberg came out at the end of the week and said that 70% of that newly issued debt was trading tighter in secondaries, while the overall market was basically unchanged week over week. We also saw a large issuance of treasuries. So threes to tens, the U.S. Treasury issued $108 billion and really wasn't well received. The bid was very low. The number of participants out of primary dealers was low. So you can see just that overall supply is starting to build a glut. Now, we are going to see relief for the next 3 weeks, no issuance out the curve. But then there was $139 billion of short-term bills, so that's 3 to 9 months was issued. So overall, that kind of flooded Treasury markets, and rates still stayed where they were. So really what I would say is, as we get some relief in a few weeks of no issuance, we'll probably see more pressure of rates to the downside.
Did you get a chance to see how much foreign buying there was of that auction?
I have not seen that, no.
So the trend has been that China
is backing off.
And so that puts the pressure on the Fed. So the Fed, when this goes back to mid-March, the Fed's balance sheet was $4.3 trillion. Today, it's almost $7 trillion. Mm-hmm. And that's buying governments and agencies and a tiny little bit symbolically of corporates. But that represents about 35% of GDP today, and that's the highest level since World War II.
Yep.
Now, after World War II, we paid our debts. We paid it down.
Right.
So the question is, I don't think we have the political will to actually pay this bill.
No, I don't think anybody wants to.
So I think it's going to be interesting to see. I think the next shoe to drop is going to be the credit rating of the U.S. government. So it's coming. You can't weather this storm and still be AAA if you're double, you know, your size of your debt is 100% of GDP,
right,
and there's no political will to address it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know it's just a joke internally here, but I would say that Apple looks more solvent than the US government at the moment. So,
yeah. So something to think about too, as we head into this, you know, we were talking about liquidity in November. That's a normal cycle. This one is complicated because of the election. So there is a kind of a thesis out there that we'll see spread volatility increase, potential spread widening, which is one of the reasons why we're seeing so much issuance ahead of the election.
Yep. Absolutely.
But I actually think regardless of the election, it's just companies need to get they need to get this done before Thanksgiving just because the liquidity just goes away.
Yeah, to that point, I mean, I think it's going to be even worse this year than last. I mean, still, the majority of traders and salespeople on Wall Street are still working from home.
Except for JP Morgan now.
Yeah.
This is going to be interesting. So they called them back.
They did.
Yeah, and so, I mean, a trading desk is a classic kind of a public place where it's going to be interesting to see how this goes, because they're going to have to wear masks or
yeah.
I don't know if they're going to have plexiglass.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Between it, so we'll have to talk to coverage. So, all right. Anything for the good of the cause?
Nothing here.
Hey, you guys, thanks for listening this morning. We will talk to you during the week. You guys have a great week. Thank you.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.